Thank you. It's really nice to be here. Yeah, last year, three people asked me on separate occasions, why don't you bring your family with? So I went to that little plaque there, and I said, God, are you trying to tell me something? And if you are, I'm going to make a deal with you now. I said, the deal's going to work like this, God. I'm going to drop the bomb when we are going to have supper in South Africa, and I'm going to tell my family, Lucky, would you like to go with me to Europe? And then I'm going to challenge them on their faith to do it. And so I went back. We had supper 1 month after I came from London, and I said, Lucky, I feel God saying that you must go with me to Europe the next year. Are you in? And so unanimously, everybody said yes. And so I said, but you're not going to ask me for the money. This is going to be between you and God. And so I bought a world map and a chart with flags, all the different flags in the world. And then for about 2 weeks, we sat at the table eating. And then I showed them, my children, we're going to go there, we're going to go there and there. But now you must pray for it. And you should have seen it. Father, thank you that we're going. Amen. Oh, and bless the food. Amen. And that's it. And so we gave them 2 weeks. We told Carla and Eva, okay, you have 2 weeks. You must wrestle with God and you must ask Him who we should ask for your, flight tickets and money. And so after 2 weeks, they came back. They gave us the person's name. So we went with them. And the meeting was 2 minutes. We told the person, listen here, this is what they pray for, that is what they believe. And the guy said, okay, I'll pay everything for them. So their money was there before the rest of the team. So now, Almir and myself, our faith was under pressure. We had to. Because now they're asking, so Dad, why are you struggling? It works as simple as that. It was quite challenging going back again to what Jesus says when we must become childlike. Not childish, but childlike. And it was quite a challenge for us. And we had to pray and stand in faith and show them how ours work, but they can't figure this out. It shouldn't take so long. But anyway, we are here. It's a privilege. I like being here. Last time I was talking to Davi, and we picked up where we stopped last year. He said, Lucky, can you remember you prayed for this? It worked out like this, and this is going on, and it's good, and we could just, you know. And everybody that I'm seeing, and I surprised Jemima. I told her where she was from Ireland. I told her she was a drummer, and I told her what her name is, and she was impressed. Yes, I remember. But I remember, and it's like coming, for me, it's like coming back to family. And David's brother's beard, the man's cooler. Last year he was cleanly shaven. I can remember sitting here with the worship. It was the second or the first row. And we talked about DJing, seeing that he knows a lot about it. And I come from that background. Yeah, it was good. It's so just wonderful to see everybody again. And it's a beautiful place. I became nostalgic as we drove closer. So, I'm going to share something that ties in with what Pastor Fred spoke about now, but trust and our faith, and it has something to do with our desires. Now, every one of us are created with desires inherently, and desires are things that needs to be satisfied. If they're not, we become frustrated, we become angry. Sometimes we become bitter, we become disappointed, we become offended. But what I want to say this morning is that beyond all those emotions, every desire that you do have needs to be satisfied. Because every creature is born with it. So this issue for me, it's about finding rest, finding that place of trust, finding that place of faith in a very, very busy world. I mean, just finding time to understand that you need cover, you need rest, you need a place to think stuff through so that everything that is inside of you must be satisfied. It's really tough. And can I say this? can I say this? If you don't have anything on this earth that can satisfy something that you want now, what are you going to do about it? If there's a desire within your heart right now and it can't be satisfied, what do you do? How do you go about figuring that one out? Who do you trust? Who do you talk to? Because it's important things. And I was talking to Pastor Fred and he said C.S. Lewis actually wrote a book about this. I just Googled quickly some stuff about him, but he says something very interesting. He says, if you have a desire that is not satisfied, then surely you are created for something else. And that person that created you cannot be from this world. If the satisfaction cannot come from earth, if the satisfaction is not earthly, fleshly, then surely we are created for something else. And he makes a good case for it. I mean, the man, he was a brilliant, brilliant mind. And we're going to look at him, and we're going to look at David, at David's life. We're going to read a whole psalm. And just do an exegesis on Psalm 63. But let's pray first. Father, we just realign ourselves now again with you and what you're doing and what you're wanting to do this weekend. We realign us and we wanting to say we want to trust in the things that you say. We know it's difficult for us, but we do want to trust you. We do want to walk with you. We do want to believe everything that you say, Lord. And you know how fallible we are in that, but be honest about that this weekend. Thank you that you're so patient with us. You're very patient. Thank you for being firm with us at some times. Thank you for just speaking to us in ways that we can understand you, knowing that you want us to follow you, Lord. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to read Psalm 63 is a psalm where David was in the wilderness. Now, it's for me just a beautiful picture of what he says. It's a journey again. And I want you to notice this specifically. David says something that must satisfy his soul. The way he thinks, the way he feels, and decisions that he needs to make. David says that something must come into his heart and it must satisfy that. And now let's read the psalm. A psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. Then he says, my soul thirsts for you, my flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there's no water. So I've looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and your glory, because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. Isn't it amazing that God created the platform for us to bless him? Obviously, it can't be in a derogatory manner, but it's beautiful. In your name, I will lift up my hands. My soul, then he says again, my soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help. And in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. Then he says again, my soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. And David said, the one hand so beautiful, so gentle. Now he's again with a sword, huh? They shall be the portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouths of liars will be stopped. David makes three powerful statements that we're going to look at. There's a lot of things that we can look at, but just three powerful statements about his soul and about satisfaction. He says his soul thirsts for God. Then he says, secondly, my soul will be satisfied with God. And then he says, my soul clings to God. And we're only going to look at those three things because I think it's an important season for the church to understand this whole thing about thirst and dryness. So let's get really practical now in wanting to see what God is wanting to say. So David was in the desert when he wrote this, and it's interesting to notice that the desert wasn't in David. David was in the desert, but the desert wasn't inside of him because there was a lot of life around him. So spiritually right now, a lot of us and a lot of believers are going through some very, very dry places. And if you think you're alone, I just want to say you're not alone. I'm there also. Very dry places. But God is giving us drops of things to come, which is really beautiful for me. Let me just say this. Alma and I have been pastoring the church now for 7 years. And for 7 years, we've never had people ministering to us. Well, there's the odd and end where we sit down and we really have good covenant brothers and sisters that look after us. I mean, I'm in Shofar because we have beautiful covenantal relationships, I'll tell you. That's brilliant about Huawei. I just love it. And we wrestle through everything. Isn't that great? Isn't it beautiful to wrestle through stuff, talk through stuff, listening to one another? That's the beauty of relationships and what I've learned. And it works the same with God. But now, after 7 years, a lot of pressures got to me and my wife. And so what we had to do, we just had to take time out so that some people can listen to us and do ministry with us. You know, take time out and listen to us. So we took the time out. We went to a place called LL in South Africa. And they did ministry with us for 5 days, but now here's the great thing. When you become like David, when you feel like you're in the desert, now we feel the desert's in us, but you're in the desert, you see the desert's not in you, because there's a lot of beautiful things that God is doing in our lives and within our hearts. Now we start to realize what our appetites are about. Because now we sit, you know, I give Elmery the flowers. I give her the holiday. She gives me the biltong. She says, go watch this game. And yet, there's still a thirst. It's not her mistake. It's not my mistake. It's not the ministry's mistake. It's not my leader's mistake. It's not my boss's fault. Nobody's. The thirst continues there. And so we came to a place where we sat down and we looked at each other. We says, look here, every gift that we give each other is perfect, eh? But it's not helping. And then she said, yes, it's not helping my husband. There's a desire within our hearts that's driving us insane. And unfortunately, Beacon's chocolate cannot satisfy. No piece of steak. Or we winning the All Blacks. It's not going to help. It's going to help for a few hours, and then after that, that desire is there. And so we had to go for ministry. And it's in that context that I read this, and I spoke to so many people going through the same thing at this stage within the church. And so now when we were there, you start seeing the things that you put your hope and your trust in. You start realizing all your appetites. What is there? So, to satisfy our souls, we need godly desires. A desire, if it's strong enough, it will lead you on a path either to something good or something bad. I mean, if you start with something and you really want it, I don't know how, at what length you'll go to do it. Me neither, but I'll tell you, if it's a wrong one, it's going to be a bitter, bitter journey. And sometimes it looks good. But we've got to look at that. So the first thing that David says is that he's thirsty for God. And I've said it this way. David had an earnest desire to see God. That's the first thing that David did. If you just can go to that slide for me. We need to have an earnest desire to see God. It's an earnest one. Because David, again, scripture talks about thirsty and the water that comes from God. Now, I have to say this. I have to say this. Jesus says something really radical, but it's something that we usually don't take note of. He says, if anyone, what? Desires to come after me. Jesus didn't say stuff about our desires. He says, if you have a desire to come after me. Now, praise God, I had people that discipled me, that sat me down and that told me, Carlos, not all your desires are good for you. Do you know how many people would not be so offended with God if we would take them from their baby stage and just sit them down and tell them, not everything that you want, you're going to get with God. You know how much it will help us if we disciple one another, just sit down and just say, look, you're not everything that you want, God's going to give you. And not everything that you're going to get is going to feel good. But it's going to be blessed. Because it's a desire after a person. It's not desires after things. And David says that he had a desire for somebody that he already has met. A God that he met within his desert. It's a God that revealed himself to him. And it was one of those precious times for me when we and my wife again could meet God in a place where our heads was quiet. And we were satisfied. So, I'm at this stage sitting down and talking a lot with my wife and with our congregation and other believers just about what they want out of this Christian thing. What do you want out of this thing? You know? How do you want it to be done? What are you expecting from God? Is it an unhealthy expectation in your terms? Is it a humanistic expectation? Can we talk about those desires? Because I'll tell you what, I'm going to be honest now. If I don't have a desire to meet with God, I'm stagnating. Practically, you can test it. If you don't have a desire to meet with Him, you're stagnating. Let's do this test. If I have a desire for something else other than God, I'm moving backwards. I'm backsliding. It's a simple test. I failed it. I failed it. I'm not proud of it. It's not a proud laugh. It's kind of like a nervous laugh, you know. Ooh, you know, it's a nervous laugh. It's a real nervous laugh. And so I have a lot of conversation with people around me about this. So, okay, do you have a desire to meet God regularly? No, I don't have. We have a problem. Do you, Houston, do we have a problem? And then they say yes. Okay, what are the things that you have a desire for that is not God? And that you know that list. It's a long list. For some of us it's a bit shorter, but there's a list. And then I say, we have a bigger problem. And then sometimes, do you have a desire for God at all? How beautiful is that train there? Sorry, it's beautiful. I'm distracting myself with the beauty. But you know, I'm going to say something now. I think backsliding within the kingdom of God is all too common. Pastor Jack Hayford, I don't know how old he is, but you can YouTube it. He preached a sermon. I think the sermon's name goes like this: The Respectable Backslider. He was preaching one day about standing in the pulpit and God is just convicting me. You're preaching this, but you're not near me. And so from that sermon was birthed. But you can YouTube it, you know, Jack Hayford. And there I realized something from an older man, saying something really important. And it was life-changing. And at the same time, when I look at the challenges that we face and all within in my friendships, all the older men, when I see their desires and what they really want for people and how they desire to be with God, it is amazing. I'm humbled. I mean, we're sitting in a room, and we just heard from Pastor Fred now, who's been serving the Lord for 40 years. Now, that must mean something. I mean, for 40 years, they have the same desire. For 40 years, they have the same desire for the same person. Think of that. His name is Jesus. For 40 years, having the same desire for the same person. And then for 40 years, that desire grows. And every time the man picks up the mic, it looks he's more in love with the same man. Now, that's incredible. I know it sounds weird when he says he's in love. He's in love with the same man, but you know what I mean. That was supposed to, so don't worry about that. So, as disciple makers, we need to disciple our desires. We need to sit down with one another and talk. And we need to ask each other, do you have the right appetite? Do you have the right appetite? We sit down, we have a discussion. Do you have a right appetite? What do you long for? What do you eat? Spiritually, who sits down with you? Who talks with you? Who's helping you if you have wayward appetites? What do you do when you have a wayward appetite? What do you do when you wake up in the morning and you don't have a desire to worship or you don't have a desire to pray? I think it's fair questions. Do you agree with me? I think it's quite fair. And especially in places where we've got everything. Especially in places where we're quite settled, we've got what we need, we don't need anything else. We have to talk about that. Then David said that, if you read that psalm, another thing that I get from him is he had a resolute desire. And the way I see it, if I go back and just read what he says, my soul, the first one he says earnestly, so that's why I get the earnest desire. The second thing that he says, my soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise God. He says his soul will only be satisfied within God. And from there we can see that David says this powerful thing about desires. He says, look here, I will have a resolute desire to be satisfied in God alone. And he gives us a key. David gives us an important key. How do you have a resolute desire to be satisfied in God alone? David gives us a key. And the key is, it's the same key to grow also. It's the same key to grow. If you want to grow in the Lord, Pastor Fred said, then you must do what you must. Study him. He says that on the night watches, he lies on his bed to do what? To meditate. That's how you grow in God. When you take scripture, you lie on your back and you think about it. You think it through and you ask God to touch your senses. Now, just go to that second one. Please, Dong. So I've looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. That part where he says he lies on his bed. If you can quickly go there. My soul will be satisfied, yes. When I remember you. Let me just say why we don't read Bibles when it comes to desires. We don't read Bibles. Sometimes, I don't know, I was there for quite a few years in my life. If I don't read the Bible or I don't get to praying, it's like I'm going to die. But it's like I'm condemning myself. Ooh, I forgot to read the Bible. Ooh, don't read the Bible like that. You know, then we go into magic. I went into magic with the Bible a lot. If I read it, everything will be cool. And that's not true. If you read it, you hear from God, but that does not necessarily mean everything's going to be cool for the day. It means you met with the Lord. Are you with me? I'm not saying that God's not walking with you. I'm wanting to challenge a wrong discipleship perception. So many people, when things go tough, you know, sometimes you just don't have time. Sometimes things are so hectic and you don't get to talking with God. And then we think, if only I read the Bible now, then I'll switch God on. That's what I'm talking about. The fact that we read the scriptures doesn't switch God on. It gives us to meditate. So I just want to say, don't read the Bible. Now let me tell you why we do read the Bible. Why we do have godly desires. We have godly desires to think like God thinks. That will help you. It helped me a lot. God, what do you think about? Somebody gives us a suggestion. God, what do you think about Etienne? What do you think about? God, what do you think about praise? Now you start thinking scripture. We're talking about desires. Then you've got to feel the way God feels about it. Now that only He can do. I can't do it. You see, scripture moves you. One pastor from the America, South America, said they went into this meeting, and so, you know, South Americans, a lot of them, they're very warm people. You know, you see them at the soccer stadiums. They're passionate. So this pastor came out and said, God is here. He is there. And the people said, amen. He said, no, you did not hear me. God is here. And the people got excited. And he said again, do you hear me? God is here. And the people said, yes. And he said, no, God's not here. I just psyched you up. He was trying to make a point. God was there. But he said, a lot of time people respond in the flesh to something that they see. And the point that he was making is that you can't read scripture and it not moves you. That's why David says in the night watches as a disciple, he lies in his bed. And when he thinks about God's scriptures, it moves him. When I told Alma how beautiful this place was, she said, wow, it's beautiful. When I showed her the photos, she said, wow, it was beautiful. This morning when I took her to that place, to that plaque, and I showed her, this is where I made the deal, and she saw the view. She was lost in that beauty. Now that's what scripture does. Unless you come to scripture, you take it, you read it, it changes your life forever. If you meditate upon it, scripture will move you in such a way. And then you'll feel what God feels. And that's what David is saying there. In the night watches, I think of you. You've been my help. And then David says he hears stuff. It helps him. A resolute desire helps David to hear. He doesn't only see and read scripture, understands it. He feels it. He hears it. And then there's a very, very powerful thing. Now this is where it gets spooky, because now you can taste and see that the Lord is good. Now you can sense that He's there. You just know He's there. Those desires, it's a resolute desire. And so David finds in that covering joy. How do we know that we are satisfied in God alone? How do we know that? The answer is simple. When we have joy in God, regardless of our circumstances and emotional turmoil. Now that's a tough one. Sometimes I'm thinking, David, are you making a joke? Paul, are you making a joke? When I read this stuff, when Paul says, I was burdened beyond death, but it was so that I could meet God, the God that raises the dead. I think, Paul, how did you do this? And then I have to think about it and I have to sit with it, because everything inside of me wants to give up. Everything inside everyone says, no, we can't go on like this. Except that I know God is saying it can't. This is the way I want you to do it, Carlos. This is not about the way that you're feeling now, Carlos. This is not about the way that you're perceiving Almi now, Carlos. Carlos, this is marriage. And Carlos, you know how marriage works. Marriage works not only on love, but it's based on covenant. So you don't walk out here. It's a tough one, Carlos, but this is how I see it. You understand what I'm saying? And all of us at one level of our lives, we have to fight this. But that is the resolute desire that David had. And then the last one, David had a diligent desire to follow God. And if you can go just to the next one, verse 6. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. You know, in other words, David says, diligently, he wanted to follow God. We listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. That is important for me. You know, to follow, you need to have confidence in the right things. And confidence in the wrong things lead to wrong paths. You know, and this is the beauty of the scripture. David says he understands that God's right hand upholds him. In other words, in his weakness and in his hell, he knows that he's being upheld. And it doesn't make sense, does it? I think God is shepherding his people back to himself at this stage. There's a lot of people that must make a lot of U-turns coming around back to him. He wants to set us down. It's the place called first love that the Apostle John writes about in Revelations. It's the place of first love. Let's talk about your first love. Let's talk about what's important to you. Let's sit down. Let's talk about your desires. Before we talk about, because after that Jesus is taking up your cross, dying to self. And here's the beauty of it. This is it. Every one of us, if we want a meaningful relationship with Christ, you've got to confess your helplessness, which David confesses here. Helplessness means what? It means I cannot help myself. That's what it means. David confesses it in this psalm so beautiful. That's why I love this psalm in terms of desires. It just depicts it so beautifully. It speaks of dryness, but the only thing that can satisfy dryness is water. It's the only thing. It's a natural thing. But now the helplessness. I can't help myself. But have you noticed? Sometimes we're helpless. But we're not being helped. Have you noticed that? Oh, come on. Don't let me hang there now. Isn't it so? You know what else is needed? Hopelessness. Hopelessness is nothing else and no one else can help me. Hopelessness closes the back door. So now that I'm helpless, now that I'm hopeless, now I'm ready to hear the herald, the king. He can speak. And then from that place I can find the confidence, because that is the thing that Pastor Fred said about trust. Now you know that you know God has spoken to you. And to admit that you're helpless and to admit that you're hopeless, it's fearful, isn't it? I mean, just to say it in front of other people, it just sends shivers down our spines. And then we have to be accountable about it. And it's amazing how David uses these small things. And how, when he sees this, just read, how does David relate to the enemy? They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for the jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouths of the liars will be stopped. Immediately there's a confidence in David that wasn't in him within the whole psalm. There's a confidence in how he relates to his enemies. There's a confidence in him wanting to know how he does. And that is why when I hear this from the Lord, I know God is busy healing us. Isn't it going to be awesome when all those helpless and hopeless people come to church? And we're just going to have conversations with them around the table about how does it feel to be helpless and how does it feel to be helpless and what God can do. And we can have coffee and a braai and all the switches are flipped. And you listen very carefully to what I'm going to say now. And we've not even talked about miracles yet. It's just a relational conversation to win somebody over. But we have the skill We have the testimony. We demonstrate the Spirit with power. And then God does the miracle, the biggest one, salvation. Now Paul was a master at this. Jesus was called a what? A friend of people. A friend of sinners. Jesus was called a friend of people with wrong desires. He sat down as a friend. He said, look, you're my friend. You don't have a desire for me, but it's all right. After tonight, after you've eaten, you're going to have the right desires. So let's eat. And so they call him a glutton. They call him a wine bibber. There's a lot of things that they call Jesus. But he knew what to say to who. That's who David met. And can I ask this of us, that we would give God time to help us into this. Tell him deliberately, God, please help me. Teach me how to deal with my desires, but also teach me how to talk to people about God, having a godly desire, having a desire to follow somebody. Because remember, this is about following. This psalm is a progressive psalm. We know that we're in a bad place when there's no movement in our life. You know it. I know it. You know it. You know you're in a good place when Jesus says, come and you come. You know you're in a good place when Jesus says, now go, and then you go. And then he says again, come, and then he says again, go. And then he says, come, and then he says, go. And then he says, rest, but it's an act of rest. All connected to our desires, but you know you're in a bad place when you're not coming or you're not going. You know you're in a really bad place when he says come and you go the other direction. You know, and he has to do stuff to get to us, because he does sometimes. You know you're in a bad place when you're sitting with the pigs. Ooh, Aina. It's, you know, Aina, it's sore, it hurts. It's an Afrikaans expression, it hurts. And I must say, I'm enjoying this season in my life. Being honest, and I can tell you it's tough, because I have to talk about things that's buried within my heart. It's very humbling. But I'd rather have it this way than being humiliated. And if I don't want to listen when God is going to allow the humiliation, then deception will come. Wrong desires will lead us to deceptive places that we can't think of. And so I love the season. I love what God is doing. And I am so surprised about how many people are open to talk to us. You know why? Because if we can talk about this skillfully and successfully, what they see genuine people. People don't want fakes anymore. There's a lot of fakey and flaky stuff out there, but I'll tell you, this is as genuine as it comes. Look at what I can't give you. This is something I can't give you. This is something that God must do for you. God must switch on the light. God must speak into your heart. You must follow God. Nobody can take that away from anyone. And that's my heart. So all I'm going to do now, I'm just going to do a prayer. And the reason why I want to do a prayer is that I want us just to say to God that we want to sift our desires. And just come to that one thing that he wants to talk about to us now, which is important to him. In terms of following him. It's a following thing. That's important for me. The following of Christ. For some of us, it's going to be good. For some of us, it's going to be tough, challenging. I don't know. We're all at a different place. But if we follow and we have the right desire, God's going to do amazing stuff. For us, because he wants to. And then he must give us the skill to talk to people about it. And if you're married, you must give us the skill to talk to our children about it. To sit them down and tell them what you want now and what God expects. I always have a laugh when we have to switch off the television at home. When me and Elmer feel, look, your God says no television for the next week, then my children's really angry at God. He spoils the fun. And then I have to tell them every time, did you know that Mom and we don't even have a say in this. I don't have a say in this. That's why the thing is switched off. Do you know what that means, Carla? I don't have a say. Then she looks at me. But why can't you say you have the remote? Because God said so. I know it's difficult for you to understand that, but I'm going to pray that you understand. And sometimes we must do that with young believers. Whatever you want now on you know, CBeebies, we can't go CBeebies now. It's off limits. And sometimes we must do that with one another. We'll sit down and talk about this because it's important. Because it's only in that place that you come to that revelation of what David is saying, and there's a confidence then in God. Because I've trusted Him that what I want now is not necessarily the best thing for me. And if I don't know, then I wait until I have this nudge. This is what He wants me to do. And I can talk to people about having these godly desires. I was reading again this morning, 1 Timothy chapter 1, where Paul says to Timothy, remember, I laid hands on you, but you were entrusted with the gospel. It's something that was given to us, and we need to take stewardship of it. Stewardship has always this element to it, choosing what to do for the king. Choosing what's the right thing to do in this situation. Not what I want to do. And we've got to steward it. I love what I'm doing and I like what I'm talking about. And I'm open to talk to anyone about it. So Carlos, how did you do it? You can ask me. You can sit me down. I would want to talk with you. I really want to. What I've learned in this season. Do you know how liberating it is when you can tell people, I don't have the answer? Do you know how liberating it is to tell people, look here, I won't be able to help you, but if you give me a few days. I'm not talking about giving people stuff. I'm talking about sharing life on life. Talking about desires, yeah, life on life. I'm giving you life. I don't have the answer, but if you give me a few days, I'll come back to you. And if I can't help you, we'll pray about it. Do you know how liberating that is? Do you know how liberating it is? He says, look at my desires. It made me fail miserably. But God's still with me. It's great. Ooh, it's really great. Knowing that Christ is just saying, now follow me again, Carlos, come. We're going to go. We're going to walk in. We follow the great shepherd. Our desires allow us to follow the great shepherd. Lastly, to the married couples, when it comes to desires, sometimes we expect something from our spouse and they can't give it. Don't corner them. You know what I'm talking about now. I call it kicking a lying man. You know what? You know those arguments when you corner your spouse and you want something from them, but you can see in their eyes they can't give it to you. There's a desire that you want to be see filled. Then you corner them and you corner them. You know how those arguments go. We're not going to use the exact words here now. It won't be appropriate. But when we corner people and we want something from them that they can't give, and you know they can't give it to you, but you want it. And all of us, we have an emotional incapacity to translate verbally what we feel. And so sometimes we try to translate those things so that they can feel better or to help them, but we can't, and we try and they're not hearing it, and you know the wrestle. You get nowhere. Do you know how liberating it is when you say to each other, look at what you're expecting from me, I can't give it to you. I know I'm your husband, I know I'm closest to you. But, you know, liberating is when your wife tells you that, my husband, I see there's a need in you. I can't give it to you. I just don't have the capacity to fulfill that desire. That's probably one of the biggest reasons why this thing was birthed in my heart. Because we, both of us, we just knew when we realized this, okay, this is God. We can't do this. And with those desires, we must have conversations within our congregations not to have unhealthy expectations of one another. Trying to fulfill desires for other people, it's tough. Being honest about it and allowing people to guide you through it, that would most probably be the best thing, as the Holy Spirit leads. But don't choke somebody that can't breathe. It's hurtful. I mean, for me, honestly, it's one of the most horrible feelings to stand there and knowing I can't help anybody. You know how horrible it feels? Just knowing I can't say anything now that makes sense. And this person wants me to make sense, but I can't. Man, but when the Holy Spirit comes and two people can agree on that, and we can pray about it, and then God gives answers. Isn't that beautiful? And then we know this is the perfect desire. So I'm going to leave it at that. I'm going to pray now. And then if you need prayer, just a conversation, I'm open to talk about it. I don't have it all. Sometimes I just think, Pastor Fred talks about the tumble dryer. I don't understand the season. Tumble dryer seasons. Ooh, yetta. I really don't know. It's tough seasons, but it's good seasons. Because there's people that has it pretty, pretty bad. And we can't fix them, but we can help them. And sometimes the one opposite you, with all those desires that cannot be met, must be led to the right person so that they can start following and going in the right direction. So that's my heart with this for all of us. And I'm wanting to follow. Father, we want to follow you. We don't want to stagnate. God, we don't want to do scripture witchcraft style. We want to do it relationship style. Relationally hearing you, relationally following you. God, we want to have respect for one another, that when someone else speaks, we listen as if it's you talking. And God, you know all these burning desires within our hearts that wants things to be done, that wants things to be over. And with you, it's a journey. With us, it's a now. You talk about the journey, we talk about now. You talk about come with me, we say give now. You talk about walk with me, we say no, we want to sit, we want to stop. God, just help us to navigate our way through this. Help us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that it's so encouraging that you're the one, the only one that can satisfy all our desires. That is so encouraging, knowing that there is someone that can. Thank you that we can know that one day all desires will be fulfilled, because it was fulfilled at the cross. Thank you that we don't have to worship desires. Thank you that we worship a person in which we can be fully satisfied. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for Jesus, a friend of people with desires, a friend of sinners. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. And then lastly, Father, in our walk, each and every one of our walks, may we be able to say like your Son Christ, it is finished. everything culminating to this one thing, it's finished in you. Every desire being fulfilled in you. Every desire being perfect in you. Thank you for the momentum in our lives. Even if it's a little bit of momentum, it's there. We're thankful for it. We will continue to walk in it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, David.